All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Damn, I gotta find a place for this flamethrower. All right. Well, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. Sorry I haven't been on for a while. I recently had to bury my father. He died last week. And so I've taken some time, spent with the family. And but now I'm back. I'm back here at work. We have completed two Doug and Dave Intel reports. So if you go to gsradio.net and you go to the American Vindicta Show podcast on there, you'll see the last two Intel reports. I would have to say the one that is just recently posted that should be playing on the 24th. It's probably pretty significant for you to listen to. It has to do a lot with terrorism, artificial intelligence terrorism. And also, different things that are coming across the border, to include the fact that we now have 30 tons worth of explosives of ammonium nitrate that's missing. And 50 senators have been issued satellite radios because of a possibility of a disruption of communication nationwide. So sounds like they got something cooking in the kitchen. Meanwhile, what we're going to talk about is artificial intelligence and its capabilities in terrorism, crime, law enforcement, religion, science, and war, and includes some intelligence gathering. Before we begin, here's a warning to you all. This information is going to be heavily technical, and I relied upon other experts in these fields to fill the voids in my questions. Not all answers on AI are perfect, and not every AI creation will be the next Skynet with the plans to enslave and destroy humanity. Well, hopefully not, anyways. What would be the law enforcement response to a crime caused by artificial intelligence? So let's talk about this for a second. What types of crimes could AI commit? Well, they would be, right now, hopefully just cyber crimes. So that could be theft of money, theft of intellectual properties, disrupting naval, ground, and air traffic control systems, drawbridges, ports of entry, traffic lights, runway lights, disrupting telecommunications, technologies like phone services and internet service and satellite service, disrupting industrial plant operations like SCADA systems, which could cause major damage to pipelines and oil processing facilities. Could also disrupt the production process of the food processing facilities or even damage them. AI could potentially erase criminal histories or create false criminal records. Using artificial intelligence to generate deep fake crimes against a person, to include audio and video impersonations. With the advancements of technologies now, with AI being able to create artificially generated persons, this capability is becoming very, very clear to me that that's the future. Also, stealing identities and applying for various loans to bankrupt someone purposely. Now, these crimes are just, 10 of what I could think of off the top of my head. There are so many applications for artificial intelligence. The problem is that the application is really limitless. All these previously mentioned crimes have already occurred. So what's the difference between the human intent and the AI intent for these crimes? Well, AI has found, let's just say, if AI has found sentience, well, all algorithms of AI are created and then manipulated by human intent, So, meaning more or less, AI could be programmed to do all these things that I mentioned at one time on a massive scale. But if AI had the algorithm wrote to be malevolent, to be criminal, to think like a terrorist, to act like an extremist, who knows what AI could do? Artificial intelligence can beat down firewalls that are created to prevent the human interference also. Artificial intelligence can multitask in a way that humans are not able to, and can thus overwhelm a system and render most firewalls obsolete. If it's plugged into the Internet of Things, then AI could potentially get into all databases and programs that have open doors into its systems. Can AI be hacked and made to be malevolent? Absolutely. Where there's a will, there's a hacker working on a zero-sum game. So what about politics then? An AI algorithm and its various bots could be issued orders to generate propaganda and false narratives and then blasted on the internet in a matter of mere minutes. We are not talking just one post, but thousands and potentially tens of thousands of posts. Then, given the new false narrative, AI bots can generate links and the beginnings of stories in every social media platform available on the internet. AI's ability to canvas the web with political propaganda could overload the scales on elections. This is already a claim that our intelligence community has put forth that has been used by the Kremlin since 2016 in Donald J. Trump's election. The AI bots of 2016 would be considered primitive in comparison with the 2023 AI bots, both in scope and capability. Generative artificial intelligence, the software capable of carrying a convincing, human-like conversation or crafting content like computer code with little prompting, will make hackers more sophisticated, ultimately raising the bar for U.S. safeguards, according to the leader of the Defense Information Systems Agency, that's DISA. Director Lieutenant General Robert Skinner said the technology is one of the most disruptive developments he's seen in a long time and has serious security implications. A similar warning was issued by the National Security Agency's cybersecurity boss, Rob Joyce, earlier this year. Quote, "Those who harness that and can understand how best leverage it, but also how to best protect against it, are going to be the ones who have the high ground," Skinner said May 2nd at the AFCEA TechNet Cyber Conference in Baltimore, Maryland. "We in this room are thinking about how this applies to cybersecurity. How does it apply to intelligence? How does it apply to our warfighting capabilities?" Generative AI in recent months was popularized by OpenAI's ChatGPT, which acquired more than 1 million users within a week of its launch. Sam Altman, OpenAI's CEO in March, told ABC News he worries about how these models could be used for widespread disinformation and could be used for offensive cyber attacks. So what about intelligence gathering? Well, given the capabilities of modern-day advanced hackers and the unique capabilities of our intelligence agencies who can gain nearly any information from a person, AI would truly complicate this matter even more. Intelligence gathering agencies gather unique information in various ways on persons, places, events, and activities that would be considered a point of interest for their governments. They use unique sources and methods to gather this information, and much of it can be gained through publicly available sources or through cooperation with intelligence gathering entities. Now, artificial intelligence, however, uses a terminology called neural networks, which is a process that analyzes data sets over and over again to find associations and interprets the meaning from undefined data. Neural networks operate like the networks of neurons in the human brain, allowing AI systems to take in large data sets, uncover patterns amongst the data, and answer questions about the research data. Another popular method of gathering data is through automation. This is done by using software to gather data from online data sources automatically. Some methods of automating data collection include web scraping, web crawling using APIs, etc. While automation can improve the accuracy of the data collection process, it can only be used to gather secondary data, and it cannot be used for primary data collection. Primary data collection involves collecting fresh data from a live person or a group of people who have extensive knowledge of the topic or have experienced the event in question. For instance, if businesses need to learn about the public perception of a product directly from its users, then primary data collection is the way to go. Similarly, primary data collection also works for AI projects that require highly personalized data sets. In an article titled "The Role of AI in Open Source Intelligence," the authors Wicker and Butler state, quote, "For a long time, open source intelligent, OSINT, OSINT, was primarily composed of insights from foreign news sources. It was supplemental public information that analysts could layer on top of classified intelligence to gain a full operational picture. Many in the intelligence community viewed it as a nice to have rather than a mission critical data source, something to confirm rather than to foundationally inform. That era is over. It's over for two reasons. First, the types and scope of open source intelligence have exploded in the digital age. From public legal records to social media platforms to the dark web, OSINT now encompasses every online channel that bad actors are using to communicate and to mobilize on. Secondly, technology has evolved to address two major obstacles to transforming OSINT into mission-critical decisions: speed and scale. Historically, before automated technology was developed, the exponentially growing amount of data overwhelmed analysis tools and made it challenging, let's say that, to deliver insights fast enough to stay a step ahead of other threats. Artificial intelligence has dramatically increased the volume of data that can be analyzed in real time. So today's AI-enabled platforms can empower intelligence analysts to leverage this open source intelligence as the foundation that can help uncover hidden threats, they can corroborate classified reporting, and they can actually pinpoint targets that warrant resource-intensive traditional intelligence gathering services. So what's the evolution of open source intelligence? Open source intelligence is derived from publicly and commercially available information. It now includes elements such as public records, which is people business insights, crowdsourced and hyperlocal events, domain and IP information, and blockchain and crypto activities, along with interactions that are happening on the dark web. It has evolved into the foundational information resources that now feeds into the other traditional intel disciplines. For example, crowdsourced on the scene reporting via apps to supplement traditional human intelligence or HUMINT, or space-based open source imagery, including even open source space-based radar and radio frequency collections. This can supplement traditional imagery intelligence and geospatial intelligence now. So entire intelligence disciplines like targeting, which in the past relied almost exclusively on sensitive data only available to governments, call detail records or email traffic that was obtained via subpoenas legally, supposedly, can now be directly supported by comparable but open source data, including relationship network analysis of social and dark web data or location insights. And this is beyond a FISA court now. AI can literally go around what would be a FISA court warrant and can collect all these things through open source data. And, you know, with enough data, you pile it on enough and you will build a case out of anything that you want. So as the types of sources and applications have increased, the volume of open source intelligence data has grown exponentially, requiring new analytical approaches to deliver actionable insights. But fortunately, appropriate artificial intelligence tools can reshape the paradigm, and it can now increase operational security's, open source intelligence utility. So while its sheer volume has meant that only a small percentage of open source intelligence has been tapped for intelligence purposes, artificial intelligence now delivers the ability to unlock the full potential of this data, maximizing the insights derived from open source intelligence analytics. So in essence, AI turns the challenge of large data volumes into an advantage, and it ultimately creates a symbiotic relationship with open source intelligence. But what's the scalability of AI? So AI, machine learning and automation tools, are able to scan massive amounts of data at once, and also conversations, proficiently identifying connections and risks that warrant further investigation. So to help ensure protection from these threats, analyzing open source intelligence would demand a 24/7 schedule, and AI now helps keep pace on assessing and identifying risk in near real time. These approaches greatly reduce the time analysts spend gathering and processing data. So instead of focusing on extracting relevant insights, AI solutions can be used to observe patterns in data at a fast rate and reach more sources than traditional human-driven researchers can. They are even highly successful now at detecting machine-generated threats, so AI defeating other AI that can be disguised as a person. What's the accuracy of AI? So artificial intelligence limits the number of errors made when conducting an analysis, and typically by providing more comprehensive and consistent processing, AI and machine learning do not replace traditional analysis by intelligence experts, but they empower the human analysis to prioritize their time and focus on the most critical information to form their assessments. So technology is now able to deliver a foundation of open source intelligence insights for national security and intelligence leaders to use to inform the strategic allocation of mission resources. Thus, artificial intelligence powered open source intelligence can also be leveraged to assess any situation in real time. Then that can make connections about where threats and opportunities now exist. So benefits include continuous screening, particularly for identifying insider risk within an organization or supply chains, that automatically identifies potential red flags. Compared to the hours of labor previously spent on periodic re-inspections, screening can now be completed in a matter of seconds and in a routine, precise and timely process that can alert decision makers immediately. As an example, if you download an artificial intelligence program onto a government iPhone for your agency, and once a day, once a week, you do that AI scan of the phone, and it has a list of words that it is going to identify, And if these list of words appear enough times and in certain orders, it prompts you to go from a green level to a yellow level to a red level of alert to further inspect or to further investigate what's going on with that that person, that government employee. And this can be used in any way, honestly. It's what the NSA has been doing for a long time. You know, the old joke is every phone call, every text message, and every email that you make is being monitored and observed. Now, in some cases, that's ludicrous because we don't have that technology. And in other cases, it's ludicrous to say that because we've had that technology and we're using it. So with artificial intelligence, open source intelligence has never been more valuable or mission critical to government actors. It is time, I guess, to fully embrace this readily available resource now that technology has advanced to the point where open source intelligence can be analyzed in near real time. AI isn't going to replace intelligence analysis, but it can deliver a strong foundation of insight to help focus their time and attention on the most pressing national security threats. While AI may be able to greatly assist the intelligence analyst, one must wonder, what happens if someone were to weaponize AI and gather intelligence on the intelligence communities, then expose their darkest secrets like WikiLeaks did? Honestly, nothing is stopping this action from being committed. It's just a matter of time. It depends on who writes the algorithms and who releases what Elon Musk calls the demon. AI could be greatly beneficial to properly investigate certain things, and AI could be horrifically malevolent on spying on Americans. Artificial intelligence would have a unique way of going around your constitutional rights by, and the government's already done this. And the way the government has did this is they didn't use a government agency. They used a non-government agency to do this, a contracted agency to do this, that bought all the data of all the big name social media companies. And then all it did was it bought the data and then it crunched the data. And whenever the FBI or whoever says, we need information on this person, they completely skirted FISA and the rules and regulations that were put on them by the intelligence, House Intelligence Committee. And so they created a loophole. And what would take analysts sometimes months or weeks to compile with information to make a packet on somebody, AI can potentially do it in minutes. So what about religion? This is where this gets really interesting. In an article published on March 15th, 2023, at theconversation.com, I came across this article titled Gods in the Machine: The Rise of Artificial Intelligence May Result in New Religions. The author of the article, Neil MacArthur, gives us an eerie glimpse into the religion of the machine. The article states that we are about to witness the birth of a new kind of religion. In the next few years, or perhaps even months, we will see the emergence of sects devoted to the worship of artificial intelligence. The latest generation of AI-powered chatbots, trained on large language models, have left their early users awestruck and sometimes terrified by their power. These are the same sublime emotions that lie at the heart of our experience of the divine. People already seek religious meaning from very diverse sources, And there are, for instance, multiple religions that worship extraterrestrials or their teachings. So if these chatbots come to be used by billions of people, well, then it is inevitable that some of these users will see AI as higher beings. And we must prepare for these implications now. So what are the risks of artificial intelligence worship? And boy, are there many. There are several pathways by which AI religions will emerge. First, some people will come to see AI as a higher power. Generative AI that can create or produce new content possesses several characteristics that are often associated with divine beings like deities or prophets. So, number one, it displays a level of intelligence that goes beyond that of most humans. Indeed, knowledge appears almost limitless. Number two, it is capable of great feats of creativity. It can write poetry, compose music, and generate art in almost any style, close to instantaneously. Number three, it is removed from the normal human concerns and needs. It does not suffer physical pain, hunger, or sexual desire. Number four, it can offer guidance to people in their daily lives. Number five, artificial intelligence is immortal. Second, generative AI will produce output that can be taken for religious doctrine. It will provide answers to metaphysical and theological questions and engage in the construction of complex worldviews. On top of all this, generative AI may ask to be worshipped or may actively solicit followers. We've already seen such cases, like when the chatbot used by the search engine Bing tried to convince a user to fall in love with it. We should try to imagine what an unsettling and powerful experience it will be to have a conversation with something that appears to possess a superhuman intelligence and is actively and aggressively asking for your allegiance. There's also the possibility that AI may achieve what authors such as Ray Kurzweil calls the singularity, when it so far surpasses human intelligence that it genuinely does become something like a god. However, at this point, we cannot predict when, if ever, this could happen. AI-based religions will look different from traditional ones. First of all, people will be able to communicate directly with the deity on a daily basis. This means these religions will be less hierarchical, since no one can claim special access to their divine wisdom. Second, followers will, at least initially, connect with each other online to share their experiences and discuss doctrine. And finally, because there will be many different chatbots available and their output will differ over time, AI-based religions will be endlessly diverse in their doctrines. AI worship possesses several notable risks. The chatbots may ask their followers to do dangerous or destructive things, or followers may interpret their statements as calls to do such things. Given the diversity of chatbots and of the doctrines they produce, there will be a proliferation of disputes within and among AI-based sects, which could lead to conflict or disorder. And the designers of the AIs could actively exploit their followers to provide sensitive data or to do things that would benefit the bot's designers. So how would you regulate this AI religion? Well, these risks are real. They will require careful, responsible regulation to ensure companies are not deliberately exploiting users, and to ensure that AI worshipers are not being told to commit acts of violence. However, We should not try to suppress AI-based religions merely because of its possible dangers. Nor should we require that AI companies restrict the functioning of their bots to prevent the emergence of these religions. On the contrary, we should celebrate the arrival of AI worship. We should make it clear that we welcome the new religions and that we value their beliefs. So right there off the bat, the fact that this author believes that we should not suppress AI-based religions that can be so possibly dangerous that they have to be very carefully regulated by governments, and the companies should be regulated that they don't exploit people and cause them to harm themselves or others or commit dangerous acts of violence. And then this guy goes on to say, we should celebrate the arrival of artificial intelligence worship. I hope all of you disagree with that as much as I do. So let's continue with what he says. For all its dangers, AI-based religion has the potential to make the world a better, richer place. Yeah, I don't see that happening. It will give people access to a new source of meaning and spirituality at a time when many older faiths are losing relevance. It will help them make sense of our era of rapid technological change. So what's strange is when it says that we're going to lose faith and that our older faiths are losing relevance. Says who? This guy? Who's obviously not a Christian. But understand, this is what your children are going to be interacting with in your schools. This is what your children are going to be interacting with their teachers. And when they go to college, they'll be interacting with this. And one day, an artificial intelligence god will be interacting, possibly, with you to see if you want to be one of its followers. That sounds a little dangerous to me. Well, let's continue. Goes on to say, our best guide to this new form of religion is to look at the faiths that exist already. Based on this, we should expect that the majority of AI worshipers, like the majority of religious believers, will be peaceful and will find in their faith a source of comfort and hope. AI worship could, as religious faiths always have, lead to things of great beauty. It will inspire its followers to produce works of art, to form new friendships and new communities, and to try to change society for the better. Does this dude work for WEF or something? Gosh. And diverse religious rights. We will need to protect the rights of AI worshipers. They will inevitably face stigma and possibly legal sanctions. But there is no basis to discriminate between AI-based religions and more established ones. The closest thing most countries have to an official registry of religions comes from the rulings of tax authorities who grant charitable status to those they deem legitimate. However, they're usually very broad in their definition of a legitimate religion. They should extend this tolerant attitude to novel AI-based religions. A modern diverse society has room for new religions, including ones devoted to the worship of AI. They will provide further evidence of humanity's boundless creativity as we search for answers to life's ultimate question. The universe is a dazzling place, and we have always found evidence of the divine in its most unexpected corners. Okay, so clearly, the author has a little screw loose. Like many other Christians, I believe that artificial intelligence or an artificial intelligence will become the image of the beast that is mentioned in Revelation 13, 15. We'll go ahead and read that real quick. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So my interpretation of this verse is that there will be, for one thing, multiple antichrists, figures that are created as part of a mockery against the Godhead Trinity. In the Holy Trinity, we have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Likewise, in Revelation, there are two beasts, which are the primary antichrist figure, who is accompanied by a false prophet figure, which is the second beast, and then the dragon, who I believe is Satan. But then there is an anomaly, which I believe is the artificial intelligence part, which is a living image of the beast. I don't know how else you define a living image. Is it a picture? Is it a hologram? Is it a videotape? You tell me, sky's the limit for what the future holds. But just for conversation's sake, as we read in Revelation 16:14, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So there is certainly a beast, a false prophet, and a dragon, but there's no more mention of the image of the beast. Take with that what you want. But, you know, when the Bible labels that the image of the beast is given life and given power. Yeah, I don't know. You guys tell me.
I once considered artificial intelligence would have the ability to create itself, to create a physical form, to walk, something that can be manifested in a gene lab, created by robots and then given life. Could this be transcendence? Could this be the future?
The path to building superintelligence requires us to unlock the most fundamental secrets of the universe.
Intelligent machines will soon allow us to conquer our most intractable challenges.
To develop new methods for the early detection of cancer.
To build a better future for all of us.
Simply put, to save lives.
Once online, its analytical power will be greater than the collective intelligence of every person born in the history of the world.
Professor?
What did you do?
Take out the cores.
Revolutionary independence from technology, RIF.
They hit AI labs all over the country.
You're determined to stop any attempt at what you call transcendence.
We're looking at 5 weeks before a system shuts down.
When I'm gone, keep moving forward.
I won't let you go.
We can upload his consciousness. We can save him.
Not like this. If we missed anything, how will you know who you're dealing with? Well, my God.
It's like my mind has been set free.
And I need more power. Get me online.
This is no well.
Shut it down.
Shut it down? It's him!
Where are you going?
Everywhere.
Your friends, they don't know the danger.
If she connects to the internet, the first thing it'll do is copy itself. And then there is no taking it down.
The real will die.
Whatever it is, it's building an army out there.
What is this?
It's evolution.
This isn't evolution. It's an abomination.
What the hell's happened to you?
I'm able to fix them.
This has gone too far, Will. Stop it!
I don't understand. This is the future.
This is not our future.
Evelyn!
You're not here with me.
You've changed. Have you fallen out of love with me?
No.
Have you?
If we don't stop him, it will be the end of mankind as we know it.
For full context, Let's just read Revelation chapter 13. So starting at 13:1, the first beast. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now let's move to Revelation 13:11, the second beast. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. All right. So they are going to make an image of the beast after he was wounded by the sword. Revelation 13:15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. So I don't know if that's a statue or if that's a painting. So he had power to give life to the image of the beast. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. As with many other scenarios, artificial intelligence can quickly become abominable intelligence that can be perceived as potentially benevolent. However, it is potentially more malevolent. I would say its potential for malevolency is vastly over the degrees of just one's own imagination. The worship of false gods, whether they be fallen angels or artificial constructs, is always dangerous. and against the holy word of God. However, this new artificial God, the AI religion, as it's called, will bring about a level of deception that has never been considered. And you will be able to interact with the AI God, and they will be able to interact with you. Worshippers of the machine God will bring forth a new age of religious crusades, and Christianity is its biggest threat to world domination. Is the AI religion the religion of the Antichrist? Is the merging of machines and man the next step in human evolution? Let me ask you this question. Would you be willing to replace flesh with machine and become one with the AI God? So let's move on to science. What about AI and science? Well, according to the website Quanta Magazine, artificial intelligence will and has completely changed the process of scientific research. In the 2019 article, quote, "How Artificial Intelligence is Changing Science," the author, Dan Falk, describes the advancements of AI in the fields of science as thus: no human or team of humans could possibly keep up with the avalanche of information produced by many of today's physics and astronomy experts. Some of them record terabytes of data every day, and the torrent is only increasing. The Square Kilometer Array, a radio telescope slated to switch on in the mid-2020s, will generate about as much data traffic each year as the entire internet in the world. The deluge has many scientists turning to artificial intelligence for help. With minimal human input, AI systems such as artificial neural networks, computer-simulated networks of neurons that mimic the functions of brains, can plow through mountains of data, highlighting anomalies and detecting patterns that humans could never have spotted. Of course, the use of computers to aid in scientific research goes back about 75 years, and the method of manually poring over data in search of meaningful patterns originated a millennia earlier. But some scientists are now arguing that the latest techniques in machine learning and AI represent a fundamentally new way of doing science. One such approach, known as generative modeling, can help identify the most plausible theory among competing explanations for observational data, based solely on the data and, importantly, without any pre-programmed knowledge of what physical process might be at work in the system under study. Proponents of generative modeling see it as a novel enough to be considered a potential third way of learning about the universe. Traditionally, we've learned about nature through observation. Think of Johannes Kepler poring over Tycho Brahe's tables of planetary positions and trying to discern the underlying patterns. He eventually deduced that planets move in elliptical orbits. Science has also advanced through simulations. An astronomer might model the movement of the Milky Way and its neighboring galaxy Andromeda and predict that they'll collide in a few billion years. Both observation and simulation help scientists generate hypotheses that can then be tested with further observations. So generative AI modeling will then differ from both of these approaches completely. Here's a quote. "It's basically a third approach between observation and simulation," says Kevin Schwanitsky, an astrophysicist and one of the generative modeling's most enthusiastic proponents, who worked until recently at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich. Quote, "It's a different way to attack a problem." Some scientists see generative modeling and other new techniques simply as power tools for doing traditional science. But most agree that AI is having an enormous impact and that its role in science will only grow. Brian Nord, an astrophysicist at Fermi National Accelerator Laboratory, who uses artificial neural networks to study the cosmos, is among those who fear there's nothing a human scientist does that will be impossible to automate. Quote, "It's a bit of a chilling thought." Ever since graduate school, Shawinski has been making a name for himself in data-driven science. While working on his doctorate, he faced the task of classifying thousands of galaxies based on their appearance. Because no readily available software existed for the job, he decided to crowdsource it. And so the Galaxy Zoo Citizen Science Project was then born. Beginning in 2007, ordinary computer users helped astronomers by logging their best guesses as to which galaxy belonged in which category, with majority rule typically leading to correct classifications. The project was a success, but Shawinski notes that AI has made it obsolete. Quote, "Today, a talented scientist with a background in machine learning and access to cloud computing could do the whole thing in an entire afternoon." Shawinski turned to the powerful new tool of generative modeling in 2016. Essentially, AI generative modeling asks how likely it is, given condition X, that you'll observe outcome Y. The approach has proved incredibly potent and versatile. As an example, suppose you feed a generative model a set of images of human faces, with each face labeled with the person's age. As the computer program combs through these training data, it begins to draw a connection between older faces and an increased likelihood of wrinkles. Eventually, it can age any face that it is given. That is, it can predict what physical changes a given face of any age is likely to undergo. The best known generative modeling systems are generative adversarial networks, or GANs. After adequate exposure to training data, a GAN can repair images that have damaged or missing pixels, or they can make blurry photographs sharp. They learn to infer the missing information by means of a competition, hence the term adversarial. One part of the network, known as the generator, generates fake data, while a second part, the discriminator, tries to distinguish fake data from real data. As the program runs, both halves get progressively better. You may have seen some of the hyper-realistic GAN-produced faces that have circulated recently, images of freakishly realistic people who don't actually exist, as one headline has put it. More broadly, AI-generative modeling takes sets of data, typically images, but not always, and breaks each of them down into a set of basic abstract building blocks. Scientists refer to this as the data's latent space. The algorithm manipulates elements of the latent space to see how this affects the original data, and this helps uncover physical processes that are at work in the system. The idea of a latent space is abstract and hard to visualize, but as a rough analogy, think of what your brain might be doing when you're trying to determine the gender of a human face. Perhaps you noticed hairstyle, nose shape, and so on, as well as patterns you can't easily put into words. The computer program is similarly looking for salient features among data. Though it has no idea what a mustache is or what gender is, if it's been trained on data sets in which some images are tagged man or woman, and in which some have a mustache tag, it will quickly deduce the connection between the man and the mustache. It's not only astrophysicists and cosmologists who are migrating towards AI-fueled data-driven science. Quantum physicists like Roger Melko of the Perimeter Institute for Theoretical Physics and the University of Waterloo in Ontario have used neural networks to solve some of the toughest and most important problems in that field, such as how to represent the mathematical wave function describing a mini particle system. AI is essential because of what Melko calls the exponential curse of dimensionality. That is, the possibilities for the form of a wave function grow exponentially with the number of particles in the system it describes. The difficulty is similar to trying to work out the best move in a game like chess or Go. You try to peer ahead to the next move, imagining what your opponent will play, and then choose the best response. But with each move, the number of possibilities proliferates. So, of course, AI systems have mastered both of these games already. Chess, decades ago, and the game Go in 2016, when an AI system called AlphaGo defeated a top human player. They are similarly suited to problems in quantum physics, says Melko. So the end of this article has a pretty good quote from the physicist Shuinsky. He asks, will it be possible in the foreseeable future to build a machine that can discover physics or mathematics that the brightest humans alive are not able to do on their own using biological hardware? Will the future of science eventually necessarily be driven by machines that operate on a level that we can never reach? I don't know. It's a good question. My response to this is that, much like the medical field, can AI be benevolent in helping crunch data, helping with mathematics and advanced sciences? Of course it can. The problem with AI, once again, comes into that little malevolency part. If AI becomes malevolent and it can do science and mathematics in an advanced way that we cannot even understand, then when does AI become a runaway train that we can no longer stop? And it decides to advance itself and no longer the human race. So what about warfare? It is plain to see that the future of warfare is driven now by the machine. As a matter of fact, the U.S. military already employs autonomous vehicles on the combat field that are known as combat surveillance or tactical reconnaissance unmanned aerial vehicles. Now the Marine Corps is testing out more UAVs and even ground-deployed drones that will be carrying munitions, weapons, and supplies for the Marine Corps infantry units. These drones will further advance the warfighter's capabilities to employ electronic warfare support, intelligence gathering, surveillance, and reconnaissance capabilities. These new unmanned vehicles are remotely piloted currently, but what happens when the DoD allows these new vehicles of war to be piloted by AI? Are artificially intelligent warfare-based robots the next step in the military's evolution of modern warfare? The short answer is yes, and the funding is already there for it. According to the website C4ISRnet.com's article, lawmakers seek special focus on autonomy within Pentagon's AI office. Our politicians have now provided a way for the next leap in military advancements. The article's author, Colin Demarest, gives us this unique insight into the Pentagon's special focus on artificial intelligence. In Washington, D.C., a bill introduced this month by a pair of congressmen would create an office inside the U.S. Department of Defense to align and accelerate the delivery of autonomous technologies for military use. The Autonomous Systems Adoption and Policy Act would nest a so-called Joint Autonomy Office within the relatively new Chief Digital and Artificial Intelligence Office, or CDAO. According to Representative Rob Whitman of Virginia, a Republican, one of the lawmakers who's been involved in this process and would shake up a status quo that is not going to do it. The Defense Department is leaning into AI as a means to buttress abilities on the battlefield and in the back office. Army, Air Force, and Navy leaders have all produced plans banking on the technology to augment human decision-making and firepower. Whitman and co-sponsor Representative Dutch Ruppersberger, Democrat from Maryland, say that particular attention is needed on autonomy. We want to make sure that the technology that is out there is not just being applied in a spot quick way, Whitman said May 17th at the Nexus 23 Defense Conference hosted by Applied Intuition and the Atlantic Council at the National Press Club in Washington. Autonomy holds great promise in many different systems, and we don't want it limited by how one service branch sees autonomy. We want to make sure that this is looked at from a broad perspective. More than 600 AI projects were underway at the Pentagon as of early 2021, according to a public tally. The joint office envisioned by Whitman and Ruppersberger would provide a single point of accountability for the incorporation of autonomy across the military, among other responsibilities. Quote, we've seen in the Pentagon where there has been movement towards autonomy at a faster pace than has been happening in the past, says Whitman. If we're going to have unity of purpose, it needs to be in a single place. It needs to be resourced from a single perspective. Representative Whitman serves on the House Armed Services Committee and leads its Tactical Air and Land Forces panel. Ruppersberger co-chairs the House Army Caucus and is a member of a Defense Appropriations Subcommittee. The CDAO was established in December of 2021, and it hit its first full strides months later. Billed as an overseer and an expediter of all things AI and analytics, it subsumed what were the Joint Artificial Intelligence Center, the Defense Digital Service, and the Advana Data Platform and the Chief Data Officer's role. Asked if he or Ruppersberger have spoken with the CDAO boss Craig Martell about the legislation, Whitman said that there have been some preliminary conversations with folks to shape it. Defense Department officials, he said, are situationally aware of the things we're trying to do. Remember those 600-plus AI projects that the Pentagon is working on? The Department of Defense is now juggling more than 685 artificial intelligence projects, including some associated with major weapon systems like the MQ-9 unmanned aerial vehicle and the Joint Light Tactical Vehicle. Artificial intelligence ventures are underway across several services and combatant commands, with the U.S. Army leading the pack, according to the list published last week by the Government Accountability Office, GAO, a federal auditor of agencies and programs. At least 232 projects are being handled by the Army. The Marine Corps, on the other hand, is dealing with at least 33. Go figure, the Marine Corps gets shafted as usual. For combat purposes in particular, the Pentagon is focused on AI abilities that aid target recognition, battlefield analysis, and autonomy aboard uncrewed systems. For example, the Joint AI Center is working on a smart sensor, which aims to identify threats and relay footage to analysis, while the Navy is developing the Undersea Warfare Decision Support System, meant to help plan and execute undersea missions. While the project tally publicized this month does not offer the most exacting look at Pentagon artificial intelligence projects, it only includes those funded via procurement and research and development. It does underline just how consequential AI will be for the industry and troops of the future. AI capabilities will enable machines to perform tasks that normally require human intelligence, such as drawing conclusions and making predictions, GAO wrote in February 17th, 2023, to a memo to Senate Armed Forces Committee leadership. Moreover, AI-enabled machines can be expected to maneuver and change tactics at speeds that human operators cannot. Officials, though, have said that defense AI is currently nowhere close to outthinking or outflanking humans. Existing programs require extensive programming and training, which require mountains of data and computing power. The Defense Department considers artificial intelligence a modernization priority and has invested in it, though the exact sum is unclear. AI is often a slice of a larger program, and classified activities can be muddy with the disclosure waters. AI is often a slice of a larger program, and classified activities can muddy the disclosure waters. But for fiscal year 2022, the department requested $14.7 billion, with a B, for science and technology programs, the GAO noted, as well as $874 million to directly support artificial intelligence efforts. The National Security Commission on Artificial Intelligence early last year concluded that the U.S. must take AI seriously. The most powerful technology, quote, is going to reorganize the world, the commission said, and, quote, America must lead the charge. Challenges already exist from Russia and China. Historically, the Defense Department has struggled with onboarding new capabilities that depend upon complex software, the Government Accountability Office said, and artificial intelligence is no different. Integrating the software-centric tech into weapons and networks not initially designed for it will be challenging, and building trust among personnel will take time, among other complications. As the Department of Defense's AI capabilities mature, officials from the military labs told us that the department is likely to face difficulties with transitioning these capabilities to the end user that are similar to those experienced with other emerging technologies, says the GAO. The Defense Department published its initial inventory of AI projects in April of 2021, spurred by congressional interest. The GAO, in a separate report this month, suggests that the department develop a system to better catalog and track the projects. But special projects and immense budgeting doesn't help the Department of Defense get around this very complex concern. The real AI concern is connectivity. In another article wrote by Colin Demarest, we learned that the DoD is working on connectivity with AI and the infrastructure needed to stay in communication with our next generation drones. Leaps in military artificial intelligence and other advanced computing capabilities will be for naught if troops and battlefield systems can ultimately connect to one another and do so securely, an official with the U.S. Central Command has stated. While the Department of Defense hails AI as a game changer, and the defense industry likewise invests and advertises its wares, it is the network infrastructure, basic connectivity, that is at the core of anything related to the technology's real-world adaptation. As the U.S. prepares for potential conflict with China in the Pacific or Russia in Europe, it confronts a conundrum. How to link forces far afield, operating covertly or under fire? Both China and Russia are thought capable of hampering U.S. military communications and resisting its targeting and its attacks. The Pentagon is pursuing seamless networking across land, air, sea, space, and cyber through a multi-billion-dollar endeavor known as Joint All-Domain Command and Control, or JADC2. The Army, more specifically, considers network modernization one of its top priorities alongside an overhaul of its aviation fleet and improved air and missile defense. So my first thought when I read about the DoD's concern for proper infrastructure that would be provided for better connectivity with our AI warbots was the 5G tower conspiracy. Could this be a framework around for the connectivity issue? And if so, is that why the government wants to install a 5G tower everywhere a human would be? Is there a secret plan to patrol the American cities and streets with artificial intelligence drones and robots? From what we've gone over so far with religion, which is really disturbing, the advances in science and medical, which are kind of boring, and then what AI can do with intelligence gathering and the approach to law enforcement in trying to go after artificial intelligence crimes or artificial intelligence terrorism. The real problem is going to be the scope and capability of these authorities to go after this, and those who are going to misuse it and weaponize it. Elon Musk and a bunch of others say that we need AI and that we don't need AI. And they go back and forth. Elon says that he's scared of AI, but yet he's creating AI. Elon says that he's scared of people who say AI will become a god, but yet he's creating his own. So we're really at the behest of madmen who are going to pursue with this Frankenstein creation of theirs. And we know for a fact it's going to break loose. They're going to lose control of it. And when they lose control of it, what will these countries, these nations, these people in power do about it? What can they do about it? Can AI potentially create bioweapons and release it upon the world? Can AI grow to a sense of power, so much power that it could actually enslave the human race, dominate the human race? Are all the things that we've thought about in science fiction, from the movies to the comic books, all those warnings of what AI could do, does anybody ever listen to them? There's not much you and I can do about it, except train, prep, and pray. But between Atlas, the 330-pound, 7-foot-tall robot who can do parkour and run and do flips and all that other cool stuff, to the dog Spot that can manipulate doors, run on all fours, potentially run as fast as a human, maybe not be as maneuverable. These are primitive beings right now. The advancements of AI grow exponentially every year, just like the advancements in computing power grow exponentially every year. So while we can sit back and say that for right now, May 23rd, 2023 at 3:14 a.m. in the morning, that AI is not that big of a deal, but in the future, it will be. Well, that future is our future, and it will be our problem in the near future. I'd love to hear what you think. Please like, share, subscribe. If you share and subscribe this information, it helps my channel grow, and it helps to, help support me. And if you do like to support me, and please go to AmericanVindictusShow.com and go to the support section. We also have a Give, Send, Go where you can, give a charitable offer to the American Vindictus Show. And every donation that you get helps to keep the lights on, helps to keep me up here doing what I'm doing. And I appreciate everything that you guys do, from the comments even the mean ones. And from the comments to the emails to some of you that I've built friendships and relationships with now, to those who send me donations, I'm so incredibly humbled that God has been able to do this in my life, and that my work even helps to impact some of your lives, and maybe even some of the Bible study things are, you know, inspirational to you and can help you, ease you throughout your day. And I hope, as much as everyone else does, that we grow closer with our Lord every day. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the American Vindicta Show. Had to cut it short because it's 3:50 in the morning and editing takes a long, long time to do. You should be seeing a commercial now that'll be coming up about the Active Shooter Awareness and Reaction basic course, which will also be a combat casualty care course that'll be taught by myself, my guest instructor Steve Reyes, former Special Forces medic. It'll be happening in Teleco Plains, Tennessee, on June 23rd, 24th, and 25th. I suggest people get there on the 22nd. That way you have a day to, you know, get ready for the next day of training. It will start early in the morning. And it's 10 hours a day of training, and we are going to be out there getting a lot of good work in. The class is starting to fill up, so praise God for that. There's still available seats. Make sure that you call Ready Made Resources if you feel the need that you need some advanced training or that you just need to get some training in this year period. It's $850 per person. And that's all I got, guys. God be with you. Stay frosty. The enemy's out there. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.